The following episode of K-Voice was recorded on March 9th, 2017, 6:55 p.m.
It's our hope that Democrats will stop the obstruction and resistance, and that's what they have. In fact, they have a sign, resist, resist. They want to resist everything, including cabinet members. They have many cabinet members that haven't been approved yet. And people that are extraordinary, all of whom are going to be approved, but they just take...
Fight the power.
You can build walls all the way to the sky, and I will find a way to fly above them. You can try to pin me down with 100 arms, and I will find a way to resist. And there are many of us out there, more than you think. People who refuse to stop believing. People who refuse to come to Earth. People who love in a world without walls. People who love into hate, into refusal, against hope, and without fear. Lauren Olivier. Delirium. Hello. Thank you for listening to K-Voice. That's the letter K, voice, a voice of resistance. I'm Kelly. Wednesday was National Women's Day and a day without a woman. Rallies took place across the country and many took part in the strike. Even the Democrats of Congress took part, though smartly they did not miss any votes as their voices need to be heard in opposition to whatever shenanigans the House GOP members are up to. The women wore red and walked out with several men who wore red in solidarity as well. I attended a rally and the highlight was an 11-year-old girl named Solange who sang and gave this speech.
Hi, my name is Solange Signore. I would like to start this off by saying Happy International Women's Day. A few weeks ago, I was here speaking about transgender rights, and yet, I'm not transgender. For many years, I fought for gay and lesbian rights, and yet, I'm not gay or lesbian. And even though I am not a full-grown woman, I am here today to not only just stand up for my rights, but for the rights of every single one of you out there. It is because of many, many strong women that I have a voice today, and I will not shut up. I will let my voice be heard. We are celebrating women and everything that we have accomplished in all these years, like the right to vote, the right to a good education, the right to equal pay, and the right to have control of our own bodies that number 45 is trying to take away now. We're not important enough to be heard. And once again, I am here to ask you, whether you are male or female, gay or straight, black or white, or from another planet, help us resist, resist, resist. Say it with me, please. Resist,
resist, resist.
Thank you very much.
I did try to fuck her. She was married. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there. And she was married. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. You can do anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything. The President of the United States. Someone plastered posters of Donald Trump's sexual assault monologue all over the East Village in New York. State Global Advisors, a huge player in the index fund world, just put a statue of a defiant girl in front of the iconic Wall Street Charging Bull on Tuesday as a part of a campaign to pressure more companies to add women to their boards. The money manager said it would vote against boards of companies who fail to take steps to include women. They sent out letters to 3,500 companies asking them to act. The money manager has cited gender diversity as a way to improve company performance and increase shareholder value. The statue will only be up for a month, but I commend this act of resistance to the status quo. My dad is on vacation in Nicaragua. He even saw a women's rally there. He said it was loud, as women should be. To honor women in this Women's History Month, the GOP included defunding Planned Parenthood in its new healthcare bill. So, There's that. House Joint Resolution 57. The Senate and the House just voted to overturn a regulation issued by the Department of Education that placed additional federal restrictions on systems developed by states to hold schools accountable to parents and taxpayers for their performance. The rule was finalized during the final days of the Obama administration. The Department of Education's regulation was produced to implement portions of the Every Student Succeeds Act, which passed Congress with bipartisan majorities in December 2015. Hawaii is the first state to take to the courts to challenge the revised travel ban. Rock on, Hawaii. You were the first to legalize abortion, and here you go again. They are still one of the leaders of the resistance. If you want to help the immigrant crisis, look to Movimiento Cosecha. Movimiento Cosecha is dedicated to winning permanent protection, dignity, and respect for the 11 million undocumented people in the United States. They are organizing sanctuary spaces, and teams can respond quickly to raids, detentions, and deportation crises in the short run, and to dramatically change the conversation about immigration in the long run. We have to defend dreamers now, but the efforts of Movimiento Cosecha are critical to achieving the long-term immigration reform we need for the entire community. I've posted them on my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance, if you want to find a link to donate. Okay, I have stated my opinion here before that I believe the new healthcare plan, the American Healthcare Act, the AHCA, should not be called Trump Care, that it should be called GOP Care, because as it hurts people, and it will, I don't want Paul Ryan or any of those enabling party before people, self-serving Republicans to get away with hiding behind our Fuhrer in chief. After they choose to free us from him, hopefully sooner than later, I don't want them walking away clean. I still stand by that, though I understand the satisfaction of calling it Trump Care, especially since it seems to bother him, or calling it Ryan Care. In fact, yes. Please, let's make Paul Ryan a casualty of this act. Frankly, I don't care what you call it, so long as it's not the AHCA, or as Representative Pete Sessions, the Texas Republican, entitled it, the world's best healthcare plan of 2017. For now, I'm calling it GOP Care. I did not have insurance for the entirety of my 20s. See, I have this pesky pre-existing condition, a problem that made it so that, unlike some 20-year-olds, I needed to see doctors and needed medication. I had to get creative with my healthcare, finding clinics, dedicating the majority of my day waiting at clinics for a chance to see the doctor. I would sit in waiting rooms as family after family came and left. I would watch as mothers wrangled and nursed their children. I'd watch young mothers desperate to get in before their second shift, bleary-eyed and weary. I would watch as the elderly and the young, but too sick to set up, shifted and leaned in fruitless attempts to get comfortable as they waited to be seen. I would see generous doctors angry at the system as they simply could not give me what I needed for the cost was too high. They would curse insurance companies and drug companies as they scrolled through medications list and sorted through samples in hopes of getting me through another month. I would take trips to Tijuana to get my teeth cleaned or cavities fixed. I would pick up antibiotics and whatever necessities I could. I did that, and I could because I had to. And I'm grateful to every clinic. I'm grateful to every sliding scale and my parents who would help when the cost got too high. I'm grateful I never broke a bone, needed surgery, or got cancer. Most importantly, I'm grateful for Planned Parenthood, who found my best friend's cancer in a routine visit before it was too late. I'm grateful they were there when my friend was assaulted and needed to be checked out. I'm grateful, but we can do better as a country. We must do better. And we did do better. Obamacare, the ACA, I got it. It felt good to have that security. I had a selection for the first time of medications, therapies, and doctors. What it felt like to know if I got hurt or sick, I would not go bankrupt. Peace of mind is worth a lot. Obamacare is not perfect, but I'm not the first to say it has problems. Obama did, and so did the Democrats. They have tried repeatedly to persuade the Republicans to work with them to improve and fix it, but the refusal is absolute, and the people are the ones who lose. When will Congress work to serve the people? When will we matter more than a talking point? When? Robert Reich points out There is good reason Republicans have tried and failed for 7 years to replace the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, with something that covers as many Americans at least as well. Because it can't be done. The real choices are, one, keeping the Affordable Care Act as it is. Two, repealing the Affordable Care Act and replacing it with something that leaves millions of Americans worse off because they can't afford the coverage. This is essentially what the House Republican bill that was introduced does. Repealing the Affordable Care Act and replacing it with nothing. That's your third option. Essentially, this is what the right-wing's Republicans want, but they know they can't do. And four, replacing Obamacare with a single-payer healthcare system financed by payroll taxes. Essentially, Medicare for all. This is the only truly rational move because it would offer the best coverage to the most people at the least cost. Almost every other advanced nation has this, including our neighbor to the north. This is what Democrats should be demanding starting now. It is the only way to cover everyone and do it cheaply. Everyone is affected by rising healthcare costs. Everyone has a stake in the welfare of this nation. The idea of the free market, which is the Republicans' god, which is part of what this new GOP care aims at doing. Free market. If different companies compete, it will drive prices down. That doesn't work till we break up big companies. The select few can continue to drive up prices, and as healthcare is a necessity and not a luxury, people will continue to buy. It's cruel. The GOP is ramming this bill through without sending it to be evaluated by the budget office. This is something I needed to research a bit to understand the implications of. See, what we need is for our representatives to think about the people and the real-world implications before making giant changes to our healthcare system. For more than 40 years, this is what the Congressional Budget Office has been for, to provide us reliable, nonpartisan analysis of what the bill cost and how many would benefit or lose out. The House is denying us any such evaluation. Also, when our conservative friends and family throw around the phrase the ACA is in a death spiral, unless they work in healthcare or for the insurance industry, tell them that their Ayn Randian, Paul Ryan talking points aren't going to get them very far. Better to understand the things from someone who actually works in the industry. According to Andy Slavitt, former acting administrator for the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services, explains, when politicians use terms like death spiral, it is often politics. But in the real world, a death spiral is actually a defined term, not an opinion. A death spiral happens when people can't afford premiums when they rise, leaving only sicker people willing to buy coverage. This year's premiums rose. And guess what? Existing healthcare consumers stayed put and more came out to the market. Heading into January 20th, the exchanges were experiencing record enrollment. That means the tax credit approach of Obamacare, specifically designed to keep health insurance affordable and the risk pool balanced, rising and falling with premium levels, worked. Let's ignore the politicians on both sides of the aisle and look to the real world. A constellation of influential groups representing the nation's hospitals, healthcare systems, and medical colleges, the American Medical Association, physicians, the American Hospital Association, nearly all hospital groups, as well as groups representing children's hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, and Catholic hospitals, and the AARP, came out against GOP care. But beyond that, one of the most experienced insurance companies, CEOs Mario Molina of Molina Healthcare, predicted that the changes to the bill will increase rates by a minimum of 30%. After the AHCA, GOP care, is released, quote, "You're going to see insurers exit the markets. This is going to destabilize the marketplace," unquote. Like a canary in the coal mine, already he's talking about exiting his market-leading position in 9 states if the legislation passes. The thing is, the resistance is a formidable one, especially on this issue. What we need to do is continue to hold the line. The Republicans won't go too far to the right with the act so long as we remain so vocal. And the act will never pass without all the Republicans on board. And at least for now, there's no way that's going to happen as long as this healthcare act remains, quote, Obamacare light. Let's talk about regulations for a bit. Steve Bannon's efforts to take the leashes off the administrative state are so far a huge success. And who are the winners for it? Certainly not hibernating bears in Alaska. Not the endangered species of the world. Not fishermen who are already suffering as the oceans and waterways suffer. Not the people of the cities who have to breathe the air. And the people of the country who are now experiencing earthquakes from fracking. And I know it's not the future victims of gun violence. Giants in telecommunications like Verizon and AT&T will not have to take reasonable measures to ensure that their customers' social security numbers, web browsing history, and other personal information are not stolen or accidentally released. Who wanted that? Wall Street banks like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase will not be punished for not collecting extra money from customers to cover potential losses for certain kinds of high-risk trades that helped unleash the 2008 financial crisis. Who wanted that? Social Security Administration data will no longer be used to try to block individuals with disabling mental health issues from buying handguns, nor will hunters be banned from using lead-based bullets which accidentally poison wildlife. Who wanted that? These are just a few of the more than 90 regulations that federal agencies and the Republican-controlled Congress have delayed, suspended, or reversed in the last month and a half since President Trump took office. That's according to a tally by the New York Times. Congress, with the help of 45's approval, has erased 3 Obama-era rules in the last month, lifting regulations related to coal mining and oil and gas exploration, as well as the aforementioned sale of guns to the mentally ill rule. More than 25 rules could be erased in the coming weeks. The House has already voted to eliminate nearly half. A total of 46 Congressional Review Act resolutions are now pending in Congress on topics including air pollution, unemployment compensation, endangered species listings, debit card fees, and oil and gas drilling on federal lands, as well as the Arctic Outer Continental Shelf. And remember that net neutrality rule that was so hotly contested under Obama? The regulation intended to ensure equal access to content on the internet? Ajit Pai, a Republican whom 45 recently named the FCC chairman, has made it clear he intends to push or roll back or abandon net neutrality on a nearly daily basis. Regulated industries are now sending specific requests to 45 and the Republicans for more rollbacks, including recent appeals from 17 automakers to rescind an agreement to increase mileage standards for their fleets, and another from pharmaceutical industry figures to reverse a new rule that tightens scrutiny over the marketing of prescription drugs for unapproved uses. Also, as of late Friday, word had leaked out that the automakers' request for the rollback was about to be granted. The Businesses Roundtable, which represents some of the nation's largest corporations and is led by Jamie Dimon, chief executive of JP Morgan Chase, in mid-February gave Mr. 45 a wish list of 16 rules that it wanted killed, including the mandatory disclosure of how much a chief executives are paid compared with other employees, and a rule intended to curb the trade in minerals that might benefit militant groups in parts of Africa. Efforts to repeal at least 10 of these measures are underway. 45 has separately signed executive orders directing agencies to pursue the reversal of other rules, including the requirement that financial advisors act in the interest of their clients, and a rule protecting drinking water from pollution. Who wanted that? There is a glimmer of hope here, and that is once again our current strongest line of defense for the resistance, the courts. 45, in his lie-fueled, cynical, oh-so-presidential address to Congress last week, called it a historic effort to massively reduce job-crushing regulations, a line that drew thunderous applause from Republicans. Presidents wield considerable influence in the rulemaking process. They set the agenda, and they appoint the rulemakers. And since the Reagan administration, a White House has reviewed every major regulation to try to ensure that the benefits of society exceed the compliance cost. It is not uncommon for new presidents to make quick changes in the regulatory policy or try to reverse certain last-minute rules their predecessors enacted. But here is the thing. The courts have generally held that new administrations need to justify such reversals. Get this. St. Reagan and the Reagan administration tried to rescind the rule requiring airbags in passenger vehicles. The courts found the move unjustified. I would like my libertarian friends to explain why that would have made this world a better place. Michael Eric Hertz, a professor at the Benjamin J. Cardozo School of Law in New York, said that it is not relevant or adequate defense to say that the president told us to do it. The Trump administration could face a host of similar challenges. The requirement that agencies must find two regulations to eliminate before enacting new rules is already being challenged in federal court. In addition, Democratic attorneys general from New York and Hawaii, Massachusetts, Oregon, and Vermont have threatened in recent days to sue 45 and his administration. To my mind, the libertarian fantasy is a sweet one. The idea that if you get rid of all regulation and oversight, the good people will out, companies will go under who pollute, and will not get business. The car without the airbag won't sell, the company with the sawdust and the baby food will not sell, and the free market will shift America into some sort of utopian ideal. Sounds nice, doesn't it? The evidence, however, does not prove the case. How would we know there was sawdust in the food? By the way, that's a real story. That was a thing at one point. Have you seen pictures of America before the EPA? Who would stop the coal company from polluting the streams and test the drinking water for lead? Who would fix the pipes, the roads, or clean up after a disaster? Get rid of government? What am I missing? So what can we do? Call our representatives. Address them at town halls. Let them know that they are reversing these regulations despite, not for, the people. Talk to your conservative friends and ask them if this is what they really wanted, if these specific regulations were the ones they wanted removed. Do they even know about this? I can't believe people on either side of the aisle want to shoot hibernating bears or pollute waterways. Post and speak up about the reversal of regulations more than the tired post about 45's new distraction or vitriolic post cursing 45's voters. While satisfying, it isn't helpful intel. People even on the uncensored left are largely ignorant about what Congress is doing to us, and that is exactly what they want. We must consider ourselves educators as well as resistors. LA County. LA had an election Wednesday. The turnout was 11.45%. This is dismal. What will it take to teach people that votes matter? Our greatest source of power is on the local level. And you know what? School boards matter. The wrong school board member can do a lot of damage to schools. Don't care? Don't have a kid? What does it matter, you ask? Kids are future voters and future politicians. So if for no other reason, care about that. That will affect you. The school board embodies the public side of public education. Elected or appointed by the towns they represent, members of the school board advocate for the needs and desires of the school district. While the role of the public school board may vary by state, for the most part, they have similar responsibilities. Some of the most important responsibilities of the board includes hiring or firing the superintendent, setting the yearly budget. Do you like sports? Do you like theater? Do you want the arts? What do you care about? Approving contracts for teachers and outside vendors, establishing a vision for the district, and expanding the district or closing schools. In short, the school board determines the direction that the school district takes. New initiatives, education goals, and large changes to the curriculum or budget all need to go through the school board. Elections matter, especially if you're secularist, if you care about the separation of church and state. School boards matter. Depressingly, 11.45% on Wednesday was slightly up for LA. LA is not alone in voter apathy. Why has interest in the civic process declined so drastically? What is it about America? Entitlement? Education? I mean, the GOP is trying to suppress votes. The GOP thrives under low voter turnout. Then again, why the hell do they even need to try? We're not showing up on our own. If you do nothing else in the resistance, vote. Vote big and small elections. Every chance you get, make your voice heard. Your voice matters. Elections matter. Don't love the candidate, But one is better than another. Vote. Just vote. People's lives are at stake here. Elections matter. It was easy for many to choose not to vote this past election season. And there were many excuses that people gave for not voting. That is a 13-year-old girl crying as her father was torn away from her as he took her to school. I dare those who did not vote to stand before Fatima Avelica and tell her their excuses as to why they couldn't bring themselves to the polls. Show up. Encourage others to show up. I assume I'm preaching to the choir here, so it is up to us to be educators. Be sure others know when each new election is coming up. Let them know what is at stake and the importance of making our voices heard. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin and end the day we become silent about the things that matter." Okay, I have to run. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice, a voice of resistance on crab diving or any podcasting platform. Like my Facebook page, K-Voice, a voice of resistance. That's the letter K, voice. And follow me on Twitter, at Kelly the Voice. I'm going to leave you with this. Whatever side you were on during the election, we are on the same side now. Both these fierce fighters are in the resistance with us. Love your fellow liberal, and together we will work for a better tomorrow. Take care of yourselves, and as always, resist.
Since the beginning of this year, we have seen unprecedented grassroots energy from Maine to California.
Nearly 66 million votes are fueling grassroots energy and activism.
At Republican town hall meetings across the country and at more than 150 rallies that took place from coast to coast.
From the Women's March to airports where communities are welcoming immigrants, refugees, and people of every faith. To town hall meetings where people are speaking up for health care.
The American people sent a clear message about what they expect from Congress.
People are marching, protesting, tweeting, speaking out, and working for an America that's hopeful, inclusive, and big-hearted.
As a result, the Republicans are getting very, very worried. They're not so cocky anymore.
Among those millions making their voices heard are future mayors, city and state officials, governors, members of Congress, even future presidents.
Those of you who attended rallies or town hall meetings, keep showing up, keep calling Congress, and continue the fight.
The challenges we face as a party and a country are real. So now more than ever, we need to stay engaged in the field and online, reaching out to new voters, young people, and everyone who wants a better, stronger, fairer America.
Those of you who haven't taken action yet, we need your voices. We need your action.
As long as we stand together and work together, with respect for our differences, strength in our convictions, and love for our country, our best days are still ahead. So keep fighting and keep the faith.
Only together. Millions of people stand up and fight for economic justice, for social justice, for racial justice, for environmental justice. Only then can we create the political revolution that will turn this country around.
And I'll be right there with you every step of the way.
Thank you all, and have a great evening.